My name is Dominic Arfol, and I work in the Intel Open Source Group. I'm located in Vannes in Brittany, which is in the west of France. I joined Intel about 18 months ago, and before I was a CTO of a company doing set-top boxes in Cambridge, UK. So that project actually I'm afraid that this device might be good, but it doesn't seem to work. Hello? No, it doesn't do anything. Are you sure that this device is working for slide progressing the slide? So, as I was saying, you know, that project that we're going to talk about platform building, comes from a practical experience. So, I happen to be the architect of the MeeGo TV project, and also more than likely will be the one of the Tizen TV when it will be coming in. That's not any better. Okay, we will have to progress the slide manually if it doesn't work. Please, on the back of the room, on the technical, what should we do? We have to go manually for the slide? Are you back to the generic one?
It's frozen.
So still trying to progress, so the time been ticking even if we don't have the slide. What we're going to talk here is about really platform development, and I would like to make the clear difference. Okay. Will it work, or you will have to keep going on?
Give it a click.
Okay. So we're going to look at, you know, what are the requirements for platform development. I was saying here we're talking about really porting Tizen on different hardwares. We're not talking about writing application for Tizen. Now, some people, you know, will also have to write applications which are going to be embedded inside the platform because they are not Tizen application as such, but probably platform extension, and they could use the same technology. We'll start with, you know, what is the vision of what we're trying to do. What we believe should be the development process in that model. And then we will dive into the project OBS Lite, which is actually a project we started for MeeGo TV to try to fix specific problem for people enabling MeeGo as a Linux embedded distribution on the television and set-top boxes. So the vision. Surprisingly enough, when it comes to build a platform, what you really need is to guide the people. We looked at the different platform enabling strategy which exists. You take Android, or you take a system like Yocto. At the end of the day, the customer is fairly flexible, but it needs to be guided in such a way that he will reach success in a mostly reliable way. Unfortunately, quite often when you start the porting of a distribution on a bespoke hardware, you don't really even know where to start, and it was designed probably to run either on a dedicated device or on a PC, and you face that challenge. So, what we are looking at, the first thing is to try to provide a set of tools which will enable the optimization of a Tizen port on a bespoke platform. So we're not talking here about PC platform, but rather things like you will have in IVI, or if you try to do a medical device and you try to reuse part of the Tizen, and you also have some specific hardware facility you want to look at it. One point that we believe is critical in the requirement, it has to be easy to start as well as powerful in finishing. And I would like to expand a little bit on that. The first problem when you do a platform like Tizen is that your customer needs to select you. And they are never looking only at the Tizen. I've been discussing with a few people doing devices which would be candidate to use Tizen, some been doing medical devices, probably like a screen sitting at the end of the bed of a hospital, and another one doing some devices for boats. They don't know exactly which distribution they're going to look at. So they're looking at Tizen, they're looking at Yocto, they may look at Android, you know, they have to make their mind. So the first problem in adoption is that it has to be easy to start. And then when the team will be successful and will have decided, it has to be efficient at finishing, which is not easy to do. We actually were discussing that at lunch with friend David from the Mayor project, and you know, it's a challenge. It's really a challenge because you have a few things that you have to do to be very good at finishing that are actually only a burden at the startup point. The other point, and some people from the community will be absolutely upset with me, but you have to simplify the mixing of open source code and private code. The reality is when you do a device, especially for me who's been working in TV, you have private code. So not 100% of your code is going to be open source. You may have some drivers which are going to be non-open source, but you may also have some facility, like in TV, for example, everything dealing with DRM and conditional access, which will not be open source. But at the beginning, you have another point which is very important. You need to be able to start your project in secret. Now, if I am doing a medical device which is a half a television, half a notebook, and half something sitting to control the bed of my patient, the last thing I want to do is to be visible on the mailing list, and I'm doing that. So I need to be able to start in complete isolations in such a way that there is no visibility on the outside of what I'm doing, even if later on I'm going to publish my code. We have to enable a controlled reuse of ready-made packages. Now, here we really go into the Tizen area. Tizen is a distribution for embedded devices. Now, you have alternative solution which consists to take, like for example, Yocto, a set of packages and create a distribution for your device. The principles are fundamentally different, and there are pros and cons in both approach. But in our case, we have a distribution. What we don't want to do is to have a pull-in of packages because we selected something. I find out that we pulled in television Conman, and Conman pulled Ofono, which is a negotiation for phone calls. And in TV, we don't do that. So we don't need it. I found another project where we were trying to remove X11, and because it called Bluesy, and that was interesting, but finally it called actually X Windows through a quite indirect path. So the calling of the packages is extremely important to be under control. Now, because we use OBS in our model, we need to reduce the access complexity of OBS. Now, we have the same problem with the build, and we have the same problem with image creation. I am a great fan of OBS. I've used it for years. I know it's a fantastic tool, and when your team is getting big, it's just an amazing tool for growing up your team or for maintaining very old software. As I've said, you know, I worked in the telecom industry, and we had a commitment to keep our software running for 23 years. Don't ask me for it, 23, that's a number. And it's a very, very serious challenge in which OBS can help you a lot. But when you start your project at the very beginning, it's a big challenge. And we want to reduce that. And we want to offer an embedded friendly view of Tizen. What is an embedded friendly view? It's probably a model of development which fits to the people who traditionally were working on simpler software. You know, embedded software was traditionally fairly small. Now it starts to be averagely big. And you know, with the movement of integration of internet and all application and everything, it's actually very, very complex. And the embedded people are not always equipped with the tool and the knowledge of how to run a very complex software project. They were used to work in team of four or five, and certainly, you know, the complexity grows up, and they have to go to 100, and they're just lost. Now, if you give them methodology which are designed for teams of 100 people on the day one, likely they are not going to even select your project technology. So we have in the platform enabling to balance this both sides. For that reason, we want to provide a graphical user interface as well as a command line. Graphical interfaces are fantastic for discovering. They are great for explaining what it is, for things that you just do once a year. You know, you don't want to bother with command line. But for the thing you are doing every day, command line is a king. And finally, something which can grow up very well when the team is confirmed. So that is our requirement. So what we try to put that in an image when we looked at OBS Lite, which probably is that you are on one side and you have a lot of tools in that world, you know, Gits and, you know, OBS, a build and OSC and a QEmulator, chroot magix and creation of image. At the end of the day, what you want is the capability to cross over to go to your target. And it's a very important point to remember in this type of platform enabling. What is important, it has to run on the target. Everything else is nice, but pretty not enough. So let's focus on one point I believe is critical in our approach, the discovery timeline. As I've said to a few people since I've been arriving here, it's not worthwhile to have a great tool if you are not selected. So at the end of the day, the first battle is that you have to get the adoption. In the embedded industry, traditionally, the adoption is going to be decided by a team of 2 to 5 guys working for the head of innovation or the CTO, whatever the title in the company, but it's a pretty isolated team. And they are going to have to evaluate typically in a period from 1 to 3 weeks, you know, at least 2 technology, quite often 3 technology. And you are going to be judged on that. So as a platform enabling, we need to serve that capability. And for what we look at it is fundamentally we say it has to be less than half a day before the time you can do a first build and check that at least you have all the tools. So the model we looked at was probably, you know, you have to download the tool from the internet, don't have time to read any documents, so we have to do video training, so people have the introduction immediately. As I have said, we still have to install a private OBS, so we made it sure that it can be done in 10 minutes by having a virtual appliance. We have to import a package, and that is one of the big challenges. It obviously depends on your internet speed, but as I've said, because you want to work in complete isolations at the beginning, secrecy almost, building on a public domain is not going to happen. So it will have to be dragged in. You have to install your toolkit, and in that case, we will advise to use OBS Lite because, you know, this is a project I'm running, and we believe that it's a good solution. But you know, whatever kit you install, you will have to install one. Then you are going to do your first modification of code. So let's say the hello world of the embedded, which is, you know, not quite often to print anything because printing is actually very difficult on a screen, but more often to activate a serial port and go to the bash. You know, when you have the bash prompt on your serial port, you already have achieved something quite big. And for that, you will have to build and you will have to test locally. And once that's done, you will start to create patches against the existing packages. Because in reality, the reason why you use an embedded distribution rather than to build it is because you have a lot of packages available. But likely, you're going to have to modify them a little bit. And create an image and finally test on your target. Now, I wrote here QEMU. Emulation is great. But in the world where I come from, which is television, it's pretty of little use in reality, because running high definition video and troubleshooting anything about video and QEMU doesn't work. But I have to acknowledge for some other domain, it has a lot of sense. So depending on the industry where you are working in, it will have sense or will not have. Saying, you know, easy start. So why we believe we offer an easy start? The first thing is that we provide an access to the Tizen packages. And for that, I actually have to double check that the OBS public will be open soon. Otherwise, we'll have to extend by doing a download on Git. We believe that people don't have time to install things at the beginning. So we provide virtual appliance or even cloud appliance. We have created a UI, even for some area where we know that when people will actually develop, they will not use a UI. For example, we have given the capability to modify a file which is on the CH root ready to be built from the graphical interface. Will that be used in the long term? Likely no. But at the beginning, when people are discovering, it's very important. The command line, why do we have the command line at the beginning? Fundamentally to give how-to. It's very efficient to be able to write a how-to, which is on command line. It's very difficult to write on graphic. So then you can tell to people, you know, you cut and paste these five commands and it does exactly what you want. It's also good for support. We have an API, so we could have extension done later on. We assume that the source are going to be in a public Git. You know, we have to get the source from somewhere. And we actually want to have ready-made image. So probably provide people a numbers of what is a kickstart in our language, which is actually an image description, which is ready running on a numbers of hardware. In such a way that, as I've said before, even if they don't exactly know the system and they don't have a deep understanding of how Tizen is done, they can go on the website, download the things, create an image, run it on a reference platform, change a few things, and have the confidence that actually they have the tools they can start to work with. So, in the easy start, the first problem is that you will have to install the OBS Lite tool. So, I have said we have to get an OBS server. That is going to be an appliance. Now, we have taken a strategy on the OBS Lite project that people would like to run the development tool natively. And that creates immediately a challenge because you have to support multiple distributions or you have to force everybody to use the same distribution. That's the two options. We have picked up a middle ground and we decided to support actually Ubuntu, Fedora, and SUSE. And to build actually the distribution for this, to build for this distribution our test tool, we are planning to actually support the last one, which de facto makes we also support the previous one before. You know, we never know when you're going to change. And we have actually developed a tool which automates the check. So all this distribution, OBS Lite, is actually built in the community OBS for Migo. You can go there, you will find it. It's an open source project. And we have created a facility which actually can automate the test on all these distributions. So every time we do a release, we have used a framework which is based on virtual machines, and we can actually download virtual machine, download the OBS Lite. Obviously, we use the command line, not the graphic. So we check that when we have a major change, it actually loads, and it can run the numbers of commands. So the command we do is that we build a numbers of test packages to check that, you know, if the test package is built, we assume that we have not broken anything in that distribution. To avoid to have too much to maintain, we have kept our build system in a CH root. So actually, what we have to maintain for the different distribution is probably the UI and the command line and the management of the build tool. What is actually running the build is in a CH root. And we have created a mechanism which can dialogue between the CH root and the user domain. So once you have your tool, you have to import your code. This is an area where you will see in my to-do list later, I want to do some improvement. Today we work from OBS. So what we actually ship to people is an OBS tag. What is an OBS tag? It's a list of packages with a specific SHA file, SHA value, which actually enable to point on a specific release. And we have the capability to copy that. The main interest to do it like that is lying in the first point, is that you're going to have exactly the same thing that the one who did the image. So you know you're going to start from the same code, while that code could be moving. You know, as we know, Linux is changing all the time. And at the beginning, you want something reliable which works. So you want to know what you're building from. The second side is, when you do platform enabling, you are not connected on the internal network from Intel. You might be in a small company. And actually, network reliability when it comes to copy, you know, hundreds of packages is pretty iffy. So we wanted to have the capability to have the download breaking and restarting so people can be sure to have what they wanted at the end. Now, as I've said, we hope to have the time quite soon to actually do a graphical version of that tool. It will not change anything, but in the acceptance of the beginning, it will be a bit easier. We might have to do that same tool to get from Git. Technically, there is little difference, but depending how Tizen is published, we may decide to get that import done from Git. So far, it's done from OBS. So here we go in really the start of the work. So what principle we have taken? We assume that when you're going to do a platform enabling, you're going to work on a few specific packages. So let's assume you want to do a system for a boat. I'm not going to take any existing vertical, but let's take something new. You know, I had a chat very recently with someone doing electronic for boats. And he wants to have a Linux system, and he wants to have a capability to receive TV. He wants to have a GPS because he does navigation. And he also wants to manage multiple screens because you have a main screen on in the cabin, but you also have a screen which is on the steering side. So he's going to have to modify a few packages. So the first thing is going to start with the distribution, which is the closest from his need, which likely is IVI. So he's going to pick up the IVI, he's going to check. And the next step he's going to look at is how I'm going to be able to implement a few extensions, especially on the GPS, because the GPS has a few different way of working, or for example the AES in boats where you have the position of the other boats indicated from the VHF. So he has to integrate that. And so he's going to have to modify a few things. So the model we have is that we allow people to point on OBS on one project. Okay. As you can see on this slide, it was done on MeeGo TV, and we were actually pointing on UMMS, which is the player of MeeGo TV. Is that how we actually play video, and especially protected video. We ask people to fix one architecture. So we're going to simplify the system. We're going to reduce it. So we go from one project. In that project, we are going to ask them to decide which architecture they want to work at that time. And we're going to allow them to load one or multiple packages from that project or to create extra packages. We do that because that enables us to create a CH root which will be used for the build, which will be common for all packages. So why do we do that? It's probably for speed. One of the issues when you do platform enabling is to have a visible result very quickly. So you don't want to write your code, get that loaded on the system, which is doing the build, and at the end of the day will create an image with everything. No. You want to compile, build and test. And one of the difficulty on the model of RPM build is that every time you build a package, you recreate by default the full environment, and that's slow. It may take on your PC with a download type and everything 10 minutes to actually create the environment and 10 seconds to actually compile. So we wanted to get that out. Now, the difficulty is that if you create a CH root, it's going to have a fixed number of tools, so you want them to be in a consistency which is reasonable, so you don't break your CH root too often. Because if you break it, it's not a big problem, but you have to reinitialize it, which is typically going to take a few minutes And so by working on one project, enabling to download a few packages for a given architecture, we have a pretty good result. Our reference test is actually to build MeeGo TV. What a surprise, you know, as I've said, you know, I work on MeeGo TV. And so far, that's been running quite well. So this is what is done. The second step to step and to speed up when you do RPM is to allow to actually run multiple time the thing. So if you look at here, you see that I have lit this part. This part corresponds to the four main steps of an RPM build. So you do a preparation, which probably copy everything, import every packages you will need for building. Then you have the build itself, installations, and actually creating the file to have an RPM as output. Normally, you cannot run this process several times. So if you do, for example, test and you have a problem in your build because you have a compilation error or it doesn't do what you want, you know, you actually have to rerun the prep every time because the way that the RPM build, it assumes you have a clean environment. So we have created the magic which for the packages we have in MeeGo and Tizen, it works for most of packages without doing any magic, but for a few you need a bit of magic. You can actually run build as often as you want. So you can make your modification, hit build, and does a build on your CH root environment. So it's very fast. Typically, we did some tests when you do modification of a kernel, assume you're working on trying to integrate a drivers, set of drivers in your kernel, on an i7 8-core machine with 16 gig of RAM, which is, you know, something decent for a good developer. It takes about 1 minute. So you are capable to run your test within less than 1 minute cycle, which is very interesting. Once you finish that, you have the capability to create the install file and actually publish that directly without having to go to any server or anything. Because we saw that it was important to make the job even easier, we actually saw that, you know, when you have developed, people will create some differences against the original package. And in a distribution, you don't want to change your original package. Most of the time, you want to create a patch because next month that package is going to change, so you want to have a patch. So the system does a patch for you. And why we did that, fundamentally because we found out that most of the people coming from the embedded world, they were not used to actually distribution. So they were tempted to embed their modification in their code. And when the new version of the package would come, it was absolutely a catastrophe because they didn't know how to rebuild the system with the modification they had done. So actually, we have made a system which can create a patch automatically and actually push them back to your private OBS if you want. So we keep the development clean. So that's the first step which has been done to simplify it. The second step we did to simplify is to help people to actually check that immediately. And so we have made a system which allow to see what we have built on the CH root, like if it was an RPM repo. So if you create an OBS Live project, that will create a repo which is local to your PC. And so you can do, let's say you're working on the GPS and you're doing modification, you can do, you know, declare your local working PC as a repo source. And on your target, you just have to do zipper update GPS and it will automatically pick what you built. So once again, you don't even have to create an image. That's a very fast way to actually run your test on your target. If you have to create an image, which will happen, and some embedded device you have to do it more often than some other, it's going to take a bit of time. You know, creating an image, typically even on a good machine with a cache, is going to take several minutes. You know, it's not a zero cost, but if you have to do it, then you have to get that on the target. So we actually integrated as well the system of having the TFTP and the NFS in the system, so people can actually use TFTP and NFS as a slash to reboot, which is once again a very common method to develop and embed it, at least on connected device, because it, as the name say, connected device have an Ethernet connection. Now we could say, you know, but everybody knows how to do that. The reality is, yes, everybody knows how to do it, but in fact, it's not that simple. You know, you just created your image. Where is that image? The name is different, and you want a system which is very obvious to actually build. So having said that, we actually decided to work with some test users. And actually, we had a very interesting project, which is running in the same office where I live. I am in Brittany, and we have the development team for tools from Wind River, which is located there. And they were actually porting a software probe, which is available on some chip from Intel, into Tizen. And that was done on a chip, which is called Berryville, which is a SoC. And why I like that project is probably because this guy I used to use their Wind River tool, you know, and they normally believe that, you know, what they do is the best. But there came very interesting things. And as you said, you know, they were very happy. We could actually get them running in a day. You know, as I told you, my target is half a day, but it actually took a day to get them to understand what we were doing. And they really enjoyed what they had. They started on Migo because at the time Tizen was not available. And it just came ready-made. You know, they really loved the CH root and the speed at actually doing it. And we did a few modifications after that experience. But as a general, the result was very positive. As I said, they could do it in a week time. They had done the modifications. They had tested them, and they had actually integrated that completely. Now, a project, an open source, is never really finished, so we have still things we want to do. As I've already said, I would like to have a graphical interface to actually import a package, because that's not something you do very often, and so having it through graphic would be nice. I would love to be able to bootstrap a team without having a private OBS. Now, we may be able to do it in a short future, but today, I need a private OBS, and the reason why we need it is because we didn't want to recreate the tool which creates a dependency. We actually use OBS to calculate the dependency between packages. We talked a lot about importing and embedded that tool in OBS Lite, but we decided that it was a few things more urgent to do. We would like to get a wizard to create packages from scratch. We find out, especially working with Wind River, that creating an RPM package and a spec file, even if it's not very complex, is actually very, it's a lot of very small things that you need to know and which are not that easy to get. It's a bit a cultural shock, and you could fail actually the adoption of the platform on that specific point. So it's likely one of the areas where we want to work a lot. We would like to import package in other formats than RPM. Today we only import from RPM, but there are some very good packages that would come from other area, for example, Yocto with Recipe, and it would be very nice to be able to import them directly. Obviously, documentation could always be nicer, and so that is something which needs to be done. Integration in Eclipse. Today what we have is we have the capability to write the code which is in the CH root from Eclipse. The reason is that we run a local Git inside of CH root to actually create the patches automatically. And that same Git can actually be used to hook your Eclipse on it, and so you can easily mount your project and have your file and modify your file. But we could do better than that. And for some specific vertical, we would like to make a better integration into QEMU, especially when it comes to create automatically the debug facility that QEMU could do. So that the numbers of to-do we have on our side keep us busy. Now, if you want to know more, as I've said to a few people who told me what the name OBS Lite come from, the name OBS Lite comes from, you know, it's light to use OBS, easy. It's also a light to drive you, you know, from where you are to your target running. But the main reason for selecting it is that when you type it in Google, you're faster, you find us first. So the good thing to remember about that name is that if you go in Google search and you type it, we are on the page number one. And so you will find the intro video pointers, where are located the appliance, toolkits for different distro, user manual, the FAQs that we keep. We have an open bug and Bugzilla for bugs and missing feature, and we are actually running on the distribution tool for Migo for the command. So we are responding to that mailing list. With this, I would be happy to take a few questions. I believe we have a few minutes.
Hi, I can start with one. You mentioned earlier you had a dialogue between the cheroot and the host.
Yes.
Which kind of implies that there's a way of working on the host and keeping it in sync and so forth. Can you expand on that a bit?
Yeah, we had to do things in the cheroot to allow to run the build multiple times in an RPM. So for that, you have actually to move some links. You have to cheat RPM, because RPM is assumed to always have a clean environment. And we didn't want to rebuild a clean environment at every time. So we have created a system which is actually a set of files, it's actually script file, that we put in a given directory. And the way we create the chroot, we are monitoring that directory. And when we put something, we actually execute the command set that we have put there. The second part we have done is to export the chroot through NFS to actually enable people to do. That's quite easy to do with a binding. You can do that. You can do multiple mount, and you can cheat a little bit on the mount. But yeah, the magic has been actually done by having a model which can run script files. It's used for a few things. Question? Can you go to the microphone, because it's registered, it's recorded, so it's easier for everybody.
Do you have any plan to support Windows or Mac for using your tool?
The honest answer.
And what is the main obstacle?
Sorry?
What is the main obstacle for doing so?
OBS Lite tool has been developed in Python using Qt. So we could technically port it to any other application. The challenge would be the chroot and having all the building, because we are building locally. So that would be tough. And I don't have the capability to do all the tests. So what we do today for people who are running on Mac and Windows is to give them an appliance. So we have a virtual machines, which is available, where you have OBS Lite ready to run. That, what we find out, is a reasonable compromise. The difficulty is that you need a fairly powerful machine, especially with quite a bit of RAM. You need at least 4 gig of RAM to be able to give 2 gig if you want to build serious packages like, you know, WebKit or. Some packages are quite heavy to build. I don't believe we will do Windows or Mac, because I don't believe I will be given the people to do it. And the community people are not really too eager to do it. So it's unlikely to happen for free. Now, if someone of you has 2 engineers to get to work on it, it's very feasible, because I've said, you know, it's probably Python and Qt, so that's available, and you would have to use Cygwin actually to run the chroot. Certainly an interesting project. It would be easier on Mac. Other question? No, they need to record. That's a problem.
Yes, I'd like to know about your schedule to integrate with the QEMU. Can you finalize to integrate with the QEMU?
Actually, QEMU already works in the sense that when we create an image, currently we have unpackaged MIC. You know, that's the image tool. We have actually embedded the different parts of MIC inside OBS Lite, so it would be easier to actually run it. And we already can create images for ISO format or RAW format, and you actually can create a QEMU image. But it's not, it could be better than that. So currently we can create an image for QEMU, and then you can boot QEMU giving that file and it will go. But you know, we don't have the automatic mount of the network and everything. You know, we could do a bit of a better work. I don't know when it will be done. It will depend on the adoptions. So far, as I've said, you know, we've been probably working with people who have very specific chipset, and so QEMU has been less of a need. But now, if the project start and adoption is probably dragging towards that thing, it's not a huge job. It's likely about a few weeks of engineering. It's not big.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dominic. Would you please upload Dominic? Thank you.
Thanks.